But Ruth clung to her mother-in-law. So love is not limited by the type of relationship between two people, but a love relationship between a woman and her son's wife has written out through the centuries and through the scriptures. The book of Ruth is read on Pentecost in Judaism because of the focus on harvest time. The barley harvest comes near Passover, and barley is the first fruits, and it's the first offering of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Jesus is all of these things. So the wheat harvest followed on Pentecost. So these two harvests lasted about 2 months. So Ruth would have been, you know, in Boaz's fields during these harvests. And if we think back to when we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ in April and are now looking forward to Pentecost, at the end of this month, we can kind of compare the length of time that this romance started to blossom. So let's take a deeper look at the book of Ruth. So point number one, Ruth, her resolve, and the return with Naomi. So we're going to look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, which is the most wonderful confession of love ever spoken by a daughter-in-law. And it's also a verse that is used the world over, you know, in marriages and just in many different ways because it is so wonderful. Don't urge me to leave you, the verse begins, or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. So what does this mean? During a time in Israel, when the judges ruled and when everyone did as they saw fit, we see a godly family who, despite personal troubles, had faith in the providence of God. A famine in Israel caused them to move from Bethlehem, that's in Judah, to the land of Moab to search for food. And they were there about 10 years. So the man Elimelech, which means my God is king, and his wife Naomi, pleasant one, had two sons. And after Elimelech's death, the sons married Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth. So things get even harder when both sons die. And this leaves no sons to carry on the family name. So Naomi hears that the Lord is providing food for his people in her homeland in Judah. So Naomi felt she had nothing to offer Orpah nor Ruth, so she encourages them to remain in Moab and return to their mother's homes. So Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clings to Naomi. Then Ruth adopts Naomi's people and Naomi's God fully. Their journey was less than 120 miles, but this distance represented a long and fatiguing and dangerous trek in this period, 13 centuries before Christ, especially for two women who were alone. They crossed the Arnon and the Jordan. They ascended mountains and descended into deep valleys, partly on foot and partly on donkeys. The desolate journey caused them to cling even closer together. They arrived in Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. the time of Passover. Point number two, Ruth, her refuge, wings of the Almighty. So we're going to look at Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, which is the prayer of Boaz that shows us that he was impressed by Ruth's decision to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. So verse 12, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. What does that mean? We're introduced to God's sovereign provision for Naomi and Ruth as they arrive in Bethlehem. Since Moabites are excluded from the congregation of Israel, Ruth would have been there by grace. And don't we recognize grace? None of us deserve to be in the kingdom of God. But thanks be to God Almighty who sent his son Jesus so that we could go in by grace. So by faith, she had adopted the covenant-keeping God of Israel as her God. And Ruth worked the lowliest of tasks, that of following the reapers and gathering the grain that was left behind for the poor. Ruth did not dread her task, but she worked hard in the hot sun all day and returned joyfully back to Naomi at sunset. And you know, she even saved part of her meal that was provided for her in Boaz's field for her mother-in-law, Naomi, plus the hard work she did in bringing in the grain. So she had gone in to work in a field belonging to Boaz, and he was a large landowner, and he was a relative of her husband. So Boaz became the instrument of God's blessing in the lives of two widows. So Ruth found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, not by chance, but by divine appointment. He admired her disposition and offered her protection. So Ruth chapter 2, verse 8, Boaz responds graciously to Ruth, and he urges her, don't go and glean in another field. And don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. So he also commands the man not to touch Ruth, and she is to be given special privileges during the work hours. So she is amazed that she, a foreigner, has found such great favor in the eyes of the landowner. Excuse me. But he knows all about Ruth's devotion to her mother-in-law. That was a big story. So Ruth's sacrifice, her courage and faithfulness had not gone unnoticed. So as we read in verse 12 of chapter 2, it shows us a blessing of the Lord God Almighty, who is our refuge. Under the wings of the Almighty is a figure of speech that denotes God's care for his people. Just as the mother bird spreads her wings over her young, so the Lord protects his children by providing shelter and security for them. So this set the scene for the culmination of a beautiful romance. So we're going to look at point number three, which is going to be in chapter three, Ruth, her request, and the marriage to Boaz. So Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." What does this mean? Naomi plays the role of matchmaker as she suggests a plan for Ruth to cultivate the love of Boaz. And we're going to be looking at Leviticus chapter 25, 23 through 28, just to show you why this was something that they did. So it's in order to understand why this marriage would be important and about the redemption of the land. So starting at verse 23 of chapter 25 of Leviticus. "The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine. So whose land is it? It's the Lord's. And you are but aliens and my tenants. So throughout the country that you hold as a possession, you must provide for redemption of the land." There you have it. "If any one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells some of his property, his nearest relative is to come and redeem what his countryman has sold. That's your kinsman redeemer. If, however, a man has no one to redeem it for him, but he himself prospers and acquires sufficient means to redeem it, he is to redeem the value of the years since he sold it and refund the balance to the man to whom he had sold it. And he can go back to his own property. But if he does not acquire the means to repay him, what he sold will remain in the possession of the buyer until the year of Jubilee, and then he can go back to his property. Now, the year of Jubilee happens every 50 years. And it's interesting to note that the word 50 is Pentecost. It's another way of saying Pentecost, 50 years or 50 days. It's actually 49 years plus one or 49 days or 49 years, whatever. So if Boaz had been a brother of Elimelech, the Levitical law would have obligated him to marry Ruth. But Boaz, as a close relative, can still act as kinsman redeemer. He can purchase the property, which Naomi was forced to sell because of the poverty, and thus restore it to the family. And it also means that the name of Elimelech can be carried on by an heir through the marriage of Boaz and Ruth. So we can see and understand the role of the kinsman redeemer, which is a key to the book of Ruth, which it is mentioned 23 times. You know, if it's something's mentioned twice, it's important to God. Three times, it's very important. This is mentioned 23 times. So it's a concept of paying a ransom for someone's life. So a kinsman redeemer was an influential relative to whom members of the extended family could turn to when help was needed. So when a married man died in the family, the closest relative could purchase back the family property that had, you know, changed ownership. And then he would be encouraged or should marry the widow in order to raise children in the name of the dead husband. So that is how God protected his people. So that's why Naomi instructs Ruth to wash and perfume herself and put on her best clothes and go down to the threshing floor of Boaz. And the landowner stays at the threshing floor floor as the grain is being threshed to help guard the grain so that it's not stolen. So Ruth is to uncover his feet and lie down while he's sleeping. So in the middle of the night, Boaz is startled as he awakes to see a woman lying at his feet. Ruth identifies herself as his servant and says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." You know, scripture doesn't always translate words exactly right. So the garment that he would have covered himself would have been his prayer shawl. And so a prayer shawl has what you call wings. You know, if you've seen a Jewish man who's praying, he puts it up over his head, and there's the two sides. They're called wings. So she is asking him to spread the garment over her. And so this garment that was his prayer shawl was the covering that he used as a blanket. So the corner of the prayer shawl is like what I just said. It's a wing. It's called a wing. And so just as the male bird covers his mate with his wing when mating, we see a Jewish practice for a groom to cover his bride with a garment. So it's with, you know, his prayer shawl. And this was at the, you know, beginning of, kind of the beginning of Jewish history, if you want to put it that way. The huppah came into being after that. And so that's the covering when a bride and groom get married in Jewish custom. They have it on four poles, and it's held over the bride and groom. So that's kind of the picture here. And it says, Ruth is requesting a pledge that he will marry her. There's nothing sinister. There's nothing that she is doing, you know, that we would like see on television today. This was all very innocent. So Boaz recognizes Ruth's sincerity. So we're going to look at verses, or chapter 3, 10 and 11, where Boaz prays God's blessing upon her and says yes to her proposal. So starting with verse 10 of chapter 3. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." But there's a legal problem that has to be resolved before they can get married, because there's a relative who is a nearer kinsman redeemer than he. So since he is the closest relative, he must claim Elimelech's property before Boaz. If he rejects it, then Boaz can marry Ruth and redeem Ruth's property. So point 4, Ruth, her reward, redemption by faith. So let's look at Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. And it's where the women commend Naomi, who had experienced great sorrow and adversity, and who had persevered in her faith in the Lord. So 14. "The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel.'" So what does this tell us? What does this mean? Boaz entered the gate of the city where business is conducted. There he meets with the relative that is first in line as kinsman and redeemer. There's 10 elders that are also there as witnesses to the transaction. So Boaz informs him that Naomi has to sell her property that had belonged to her husband and that the closer relative must buy the land. And he also reminds him that he, Boaz, is the next in line if he declines the option. So the relative agrees to redeem the land. But this is a little sly here because it just goes to show Boaz really wanted to marry Ruth. It wasn't just, you know, something he had to do. So Boaz wants to marry Ruth, so he mentions the redemption of the property first. He then tells him that he must also fulfill the obligation of the law, that he must marry Ruth to maintain the name of Elimelech. Well, the relative declines because of the financial burden of buying the property and also supporting Ruth. So that opened the door to Boaz. So he had freedom to marry Ruth and to redeem the property as the kinsman redeemer. So Boaz bought the family land that Naomi had sold and restored it to Elimelech's line. So why is this story important, and why should we focus so much time on it? You know, Boaz is an Old Testament type of Jesus Christ, who likewise redeems those who believe in him. Jesus is our close relative who came to buy us back or redeem us into God's family. So Christ has purchased us by his own blood, which keeps our lives and names from perishing in sin. John 3:16 confirms this. And you know, it is the one most widely used when we want people to know who Jesus is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And he includes us, the redeemed, in his internal inheritance in heaven, in the new heaven and earth. And Matthew 5:5 tells us, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Wow. And then at the very end of the book, Revelations 21:1-2, we are seeing what John saw when he was taken up in the spirit and was given this great revelation that we have. So Revelation 21:1-2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. One day, we will be dressed in beautiful new garments to meet our heavenly groom, who is not only the Lamb of God, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So God's providential purpose in the book of Ruth becomes clear, and her faith is rewarded since she took refuge in God and found his favor. Boaz and Ruth were married, and when their child Obed was born, Naomi praised God. Now, I want you to look at something here. We hate generational things in the Bible. Anyway, a lot of people do. But God never puts anything there by accident. So Obed became the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. So Ruth is the great-great-grandmother of King David. So what happens? In the fullness of time, a royal son is born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he is rightful heir to David's throne. Christians the world over should recognize Ruth's contribution. The Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel, is also the Savior of the world. Through Ruth, we have Hebrew and Christian united forever. Ruth's influence, far from being restricted to the Hebrew land and people, permeates human history up to the present day. Now, I have to tell you another wonderful detail, and this is, I don't know, the most joy that I get when I study the scriptures and look up other things that fit with it. So a mile east of Bethlehem stands the field of Boaz. And you know what the field next to it is called? The field of the shepherds. So why is that? Sorry. So important. Tradition holds the angels first proclaimed Christ's birth over that spot. In the place where the love of Ruth and Boaz started to blossom, angels over 1,000 years later sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." To me, that just gets me because God is so good. There is nothing in the Word of God that is put there randomly. It all is a detail and a purpose for us. We just need to find it and look at it. So Ruth's qualities included modesty, meekness, courteousness, responsibility, gentleness, and decisiveness. The question is, do we have these qualities? Through Christ, we too can be a Ruth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, our dear Heavenly Father, for teaching us